The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
And he is Mr. Outdoors, Greg Roberts, at rogueweather.com. Hey, Greg, Outdoor Report, sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. And it's great to have you back here, Greg. And gosh, I guess it was supposed to be a little cloudier this morning, but it looks nicer than I thought it was going to be here. Second day of boat, Nick, as we're, you know, getting into this long Memorial Day weekend. What say you? What's the story?
Yeah, well, you're not the only one surprised. I was like, hey, that's an awful lot of sunshine pouring in. And then, hey, where are all the clouds? But no, the forecast that we have for cloudy and cool conditions today, they're coming. That was quickly obvious as soon as they pulled up satellite information. So this probably is about as a sunny sky as we're going to see, because it does look like it goes downhill as we move through the day. The shower chances look like are going to be held north of the Umpqua Divide. So not really expecting much shower chances down here in Jackson and Josephine counties, but for sure a much cooler day than we would typically be seeing, by around 6-7 degrees. Average high, you know, in Medford today is 76, and we're looking like we're going to be somewhere closer to 70 in both Medford and Grants Pass.
No complaints, though. I think 70 still feels great to be you over at Boatnik or whatever it is. You'll still have a great time. Not a problem.
Right, because the nice part is it's temperatures not so low that you're freezing cold and no rain, thank goodness.
Yep.
But it's also not going to be scorching heat either. I think, you know, for most people, it's probably going to be a really nice, pleasant day. And headed over there myself for the Firehouse concert tonight. So looking forward to the fact that at the very least, it is not expected to be raining at all.
Oh, the Firehouse. I haven't heard of that band. It's like I'm having a flashback, man. Now, that was like that. Wasn't Firehouse like hair metal, 1980s, or was that 90s?
They came in kind of at the end of that, and they caught a big wave, and they really rode it. You know, they had a lot of really, in the business, what you call radio-friendly hits, and they did. You know, the funny part was, though, I really wasn't a huge fan of their radio-friendly hits. It was the stuff that was on the album, the, quote, filler, quote, deep cuts.
Yeah, the filler was better than the hits. It was better for your ears. The filler was better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was the songs that everybody else kind of went, eh, you know, and you know, the hits got pushed all over on us, that I was listening to these cuts on the deeper cuts on the album going, hey, there's actually some really good songs here. And so while everybody's going crazy over, you know, Don't Treat Me Bad and Love of a Lifetime.
Love of a Lifetime. That's the only Firehouse song I could think of off the top of my head.
Yeah,
so
I was completely the other way. Well, Love of a Lifetime, I think, is the one most people know because it was a number three song.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you get to number three on the Billboard charts, that means you've had a ton of airplay getting there, especially back in the time period when it was on the charts. But unlike a lot of the what I'm going to term heritage classic bands, there are actually still two original members in the band, the lead guitarist Bill Leverty and their drummer Michael, he's going to kill me when I see him tonight. I just spaced his last name. Anyway, they were moving on, and of course they had CJ Snare, their original vocalist, until the beginning of last year, 2023. And CJ, all they were saying was he was taken ill, he had surgeries, they were hoping he was going to recover. When this show was actually booked with Boatnik, the Boatnik organizers were told they were planning for CJ to be here. Well, unfortunately, CJ passed away in March, and he had colon cancer.
Oh, okay. That's serious.
It exploded in him and then went very advanced rapidly. And so CJ is no longer with us. So what they're doing tonight, they're doing a tribute show to remember CJ, but the new lead vocalist for the band is a young man, and he is a young man. I think he's 24, by the name of Nate Peck.
How are Nate's pipes?
I'm just idly watching American Idol one night, and I'm hearing a bunch of stuff that doesn't excite me at all, and then Nate comes marching out on the stage, 22 years old at the point when this happens, and he lines up in front of the judges, and he proceeds to cut loose with a Dawkins song.
Oh, wow.
And nailed it. He has the right vocal tone. He's got the right delivery. I got goosebumps listening to this kid. I was blown away. And then found out he had a YouTube channel where he's singing lead vocals for all these classic 80s hair metal bands, including Firehouse.
You know, here's something, Greg. I never thought that I would start seeing nostalgia for the 1980s because I was a DJ, young DJ in the 1980s. I didn't really like most of the 1980s music all that much. I wasn't a big fan of a lot of synthesizer pop, and it just wasn't my kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, and meanwhile, of course, I was a huge fan of that stuff and was in bands playing it. And, you know, it was really fun music because it was all about a good time vibe. And so I loved it. And so to see this kid in his 20s come out and delivering a Dawkins song flawlessly, yeah, I started following him. And then last year, they made the announcement that unfortunately due to CJ's illness.
Yeah, he's going to be in Firehouse. Now, I didn't want to get too much off on the weeds there, but since it is going to be at Boatnik tonight, I'm just glad that you mentioned this. I just never thought that we would see 22-year-olds, you know, pining away for the 1980s, which I was happy to see go away musically, just me. But, that's so funny. But anyway,
believe me, it's gotten real popular again. It's big business. They do multiple cruises now with these 80s era bands.
Some of them
the hair metal bands, and some of them just popular, but they sell out in a blink.
You know, I can't wait until we see Nirvana, when we see Nirvana tribute bands playing at the nursing homes. There will come a time, you know that.
Well, there are Nirvana tribute bands. I'm not sure they're booking gigs in nursing homes yet.
No, give it another decade or two, right? No, 10, 15, 20. Oh, honey, they're playing our song, and it's Lithium or something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, be that as it may, I just hope you have a great time at the show tonight. And so the weather's going to be pretty pleasant once we get past this. And if anybody wanted to actually get out and do some Memorial Day or Memorial Weekend fishing, is this a good time too? Is it looking good overall?
Oh, absolutely. And ODF&W went on a stocking binge this week across the entire area. They were putting fish in everywhere. And I do know that they put in 500 what they call trophy size rainbows into Fish Lake. And ODF&W, let's define what a trophy rainbow is. It means it's at least 18 inches long, or a minimum 18 inches long, and a minimum a pound in weight. And sometimes when they do those stockings, they will put brood trout that they no longer need or are getting too old in the teeth, you know what I'm saying, into the lakes. Now, do I know they did that in Fish Lake? No, I'm not sure. But they did definitely put those, what they consider trophies, in there. I know Lake of the Woods got 700 legal size, which are 8 to 10 inches. They put 2,300 into the upper Rogue River above Prospect, and all the feeder creeks that come into it, like Union Creek, Mill Creek. So the stocking trucks rolled across southern Oregon this week. And like I said, they got everything stocked up. In the meantime, fishing right now looks universally good. Everywhere I'm looking at, the results I'm seeing, what people are catching, things are looking great. And that includes Diamond Lake, where I don't know if it's anything to do with much of anything, really, but boy, it sure seems people are getting into brown trout this year at Diamond Lake in greater frequency that I have been seeing in previous years. You'd see a few show up. I caught about a 2 to 3 pounder myself in the fishing derby up there last year. That was the first brown I'd caught. But now, this year, it just seems like people are catching browns all the time. Well, in Diamond Lake, that creates a situation where you have to release them into the lake unharmed because they're putting the browns in there and also the tiger trout to try and stay ahead of stupid people putting tui chubs in there because they use tui chubs as bait thinking the big trout will eat them. And when they get done at the end of the day, rather than take the tui chubs back to where they got them, they just dump them into the lake, which has led to disasters up there for years.
Yeah, and they would have to take the rotenone and dose it and kill everything in that, right? Everything
right.
in the lake.
But since the last time they did that, they put fish in there. Their whole purpose is to eat other undesired fish. And while that definitely is tui chub that we're talking about, it's also included goldfish because people will dump goldfish, like, yes, pet
really?
Goldfish. And we find out that you can go look at fire ponds all over Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest and on BLM lands. People do the same thing with goldfish they decide they don't want. They dump them in those fire ponds, and the goldfish survive and thrive. They definitely would do the same in Diamond Lake were it not for the presence of the browns and the tiger trout and probably a rainbow joining in to help too. But here's the other thing. I see a lot of people holding browns up out of the water, holding them up by the head with the tail hanging down. Realistically, what you're supposed to do is keep them in the water and release them as gently as you possibly can. And really, the preferred way to do that, just cut the leader line. Don't try and take the hook out of them. Just cut the leader
line
and let them go.
Okay, very good. Hey, Mr. Outdoors, wanted to ask you, I don't know if this is a silly question or not, but it's anecdotal about wind here in Southwest Oregon. Has the overall situation in Southwest Oregon been turning windier over the last few years? And I'm talking with people who have been here a number of years that say that that they're making a claim that they seem to detect more wind in the weather patterns than we once did. And I was thinking even this week, we were changing out some guy wires on the KRWQ tower.
Right.
Earlier this week, had a tower crew in, and they had to put a temporary guy wire in there because it was supposed to have been calm, but it was just blowing like crazy the other day. And they got it all done, by the way. It was a great job they did. But it just makes me wonder, it does seem anecdotally that there's more wind. Is there?
Well, I'm glad you're putting it that way because here's what I think happened. Starting on September 8th, 2020, nobody around here ever just dismissed the wind again. They became keenly aware of it, and it gives people a huge sense of dread now. And so now you're actually paying attention to it. What I can tell you is we have not seen an appreciable spike yet, meaning more than a half mile an hour, in the average sustained winds at Medford National Weather Service.
Okay.
So, is it windier? Yeah, it has been at times, but when it has been here, it is due to things that are always going to create wind, and you don't need clouds in the sky in a storm, quote unquote. A lot of times winds are generated just off pressure gradients, and we have definitely been in a situation where the pressure gradients have increased to where we see increased winds. But that's, you know, those are things that we can look at and go, yeah, we know why we had increased winds. We have probably seen more of what I will call pressure gradient wind definitely in the last year than I can remember in quite a while. But that's just, that's a weather pattern thing, and it can be very cyclical. We could also, you know, who knows, next week go into a situation where we quit seeing that, and then winds are going to die down, and people just may not be as aware of it being quote-unquote windier as they are right now. But again, I think the root cause of all of that was September 8th, 2020,
yeah,
and it's that a
makes
lingering
sense.
Effect.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Maybe we do notice it more. I know that this is the 8th anniversary of when Linda and I moved into the house in East Medford, you know, when we moved in there. And she was saying, boy, it's always windy here. And I said, well, you know, we moved right next to Roxy Ann. And I figured that what's happening here, you know, you're right by Foothill Boulevard in that neighborhood. And, and just the hill itself is going to whip more wind than we had in Jacksonville when we lived in Jacksonville back in the day.
Right. And you get any kind of a southerly or southeast component, and then you've got Baldy and Roxy Ann, and there's this wind funnel that comes around them. And you're right there at the base of Roxy Ann. So you're going to pick up on that wind funnel. East side of Medford is definitely much windier than it is over on the west side of Medford. Say that neighborhood in Blackbird, you may barely have a breeze that can get a flag moving a little bit. You get up to your house, and all of a sudden the flags are rippling pretty good.
Sure.
That's exactly what I'm talking about with that wind funnel as it tracks around the bases of Baldy and Roxy Ann with a south-southeasterly wind.
All right, very good. Mr. Outdoors, have a great weekend, Memorial Day weekend. We will catch you next Friday. Stay safe, and enjoy Firehouse tonight. And by the way, since you are into the old classics there, you know that Alex Van Halen is auctioning off like 350 lots of all sorts of gear and things.
Yeah.
Okay? I expect you to be bidding.
I saw that, you know, and Alex, when Eddie passed away, there were a lot of people that speculated that Alex may never play again because he never really played with anybody but Ed.
Yeah.
And when Eddie died, you know, Alex just went into the shell, became very reclusive. So the fact that he's doing this, you know, that doesn't surprise me that much. I was going to be more shocked if I ever saw Alex behind a drum kit again. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a broken heart. You're just, that's it. You're done. You've checked out. Well, at least he's finding a way to raise money to support charities. I saw a whole bunch of people online going, well, why doesn't he just give it to, you know, youth music organizations and stuff? And I'm like, well, what would truly be better, giving them the equipment or giving them a bunch of money that then kids who are maybe guitar players or playing saxophone or playing violin can benefit from?
Yeah, and they all started off, you know, classically trained, both of them. They were just amazing musicians.
Exactly, and that's the other thing I think a lot of people either do not know or forget. Those guys could play multiple instruments, and, you know, what was funny, Alex was going down the path of being a guitar player.
Yeah, and Eddie was the one playing drums at first. Yeah, Eddie was playing drums at first, from what I understand.
Exactly.
And then they flipped.
Al's out on his bike route, and Eddie started fooling around with Al's guitar, and voila.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they can play, I know, right off the top of my head. I'm going to try and make this quick. Eddie, of course, guitar. Eddie, of course, piano, keyboards,
right.
But he also could play saxophone really well. He could play violin really well. He could play the trumpet. He, you know, that's just right off the top of my head. And Al could also play all of those instruments. And their dad was a professional saxophone player that appeared on a cut on a Van Halen album. Just blank the name of it, Sweet Bill. It's Diver Down album.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that one from, was it Diver Down or maybe Women and Children First?
Down.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Jan Van Halen is the guy playing the saxophone in the cut.
Yep, gotta love it. All right, Mr. Outdoors, we'll catch you next Friday. Enjoy the weekend, okay? We'll see you then, and thanks, okay?
You got it, Bill.
All right. Outdoor Report sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. And yeah, we talked a lot about some other things other than just the outdoors, too. But hey, it's Friday. It's our show. We're having some fun. 770-5633. Matt and I are going to talk the markets here in just a few minutes. Haven't talked much about the financials here for a while. And, you know, just kind of curious. We've just been noticing some strange things besides the fact that the market took a big tank yesterday, but it's rising again today, one way or the other.
Dusty's, your trusted transmission experts, are now offering even more. In addition to their top-notch services in CVT, hybrid, and standard transmissions to transfer cases, differentials, and clutches, they are now excited to introduce their new preventative maintenance full-service options, including oil changes. From expert transmission service to preventative maintenance, let the experts at Dusty's keep your ride reliable and running smooth. 250 North Front Street, Central Point. Schedule your appointment today.
Dusty's Transmission. You'll always find me hanging around there. Why did Memorial Day become synonymous with buying furniture? Did Congress declare a sofa emergency? Do you need a three-day weekend to justify a new bedroom set? Memorial Day is the time to secure your new furniture from Garrison's Home. So, through May 27th, we're making it easy to buy with 2 years interest-free financing OAC at our low Memorial Day sale price. Why? Because America. That's why. The Memorial Day sale, happening now at all Garrison's locations. Garrison's.com.
The conservative underground meets right now. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
81% of undecided voters disapprove of the job he's doing as president. It's inflation. It's the economy. It's the border. It's our place in the world, our standing in the world. It's, you know, Biden inflation. I mean, it's a disaster. You see a mass exodus of what has traditionally been the Democratic coalition, African-Americans, you know, most Hispanics, 47%, 27% of African-Americans say Bidenomics is bad. 55% of women are likely to say Bidenomics is bad. That's why all they're going to want to talk about is abortion and demagogue that. Let's see how well that works out for them.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
War, inflation, and recession. Did you know that experts call gold the everything hedge? Gold goes far beyond hedging against inflation or the stock market. It can potentially even guard you against today's wars in Ukraine and the Middle East. Not to mention the great economic danger of a recession coming, which is what we're all worried about. And that's why gold just hit another record high. And central banks, they just keep buying gold at a record pace. It's Linda here. Join me and thousands of people who have called Goldco the number one rated gold company. It's time you diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering our listeners up to 8 years in free IRA fees, plus up to 8% in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, free bonus silver, and a free gold and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D. Do it today. You can't wait.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
7:31. We're going to catch up with the rest of Town Hall News here in just a moment, see what's happening. And then it's Matt and I talking the markets. We're going to talk a little bit, just noodle around. Just a couple of guys, and one of them was a stockbroker back in the day, and now it just follows it now. And what's kind of nice is that, you know, it's difficult if you're a stockbroker and actually working for a firm right now to just to go on the air and talk about something without getting in trouble. Because when you're actually trying to be a stockbroker, half of the test, or like 90% of the test, is how to not get your company sued. It's really amazing, you know, all of the regulations these days. Well, Matt used to be one, but he's not now. And so I'm just going to ask him a few questions and noodle around a few things that we saw in the markets and what's going on and maybe where things are headed. It's very interesting times. Okay, we'll do that. An email or two of the day, and that is sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson at Southern and Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And they have a really cool lab there. It's a great machine where they make crowns and stuff like that. You can get crowns while you wait. They take care of your tooth, get it all, get the little hat-shaped thing on your tooth ready to go. They get it all ground up and filled in and ready to go. And a lot of times, like a half hour, and then here's your brand-new crown. Boop. Stick it on. Out the door you go. Find out more. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Get your appointment today. A couple of people writing me this morning about college sports because there was that big settlement yesterday, more than $2 billion, a lot of old, 6, 7, 8 years back, going back for college athletes. They'll be talking about getting money, getting some money going out. And then in 2025, the 2025 season, they'll start paying college athletes, in many cases. Going to be some revenue sharing going on there. And what do you think about this? And David writes me this morning, says, hey, Bill, college athletes have always been paid one way or another, for example, scholarships. And there are many under-the-table ways of paying for college athletes, too. Yeah, we know about that, David, sure. Now it's just out in the open, and the big money is finally available, and the ticket prices will go up, and then you'll only be able to watch certain games, the important ones, on the new college sports channel that you'll have to subscribe to. Yeah, you could be right about that, Dave. Appreciate you writing. Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. Meanwhile, Sam ends up kicking in here. Bill, if I ran things, I would tear down every college stadium in the country. We need trained people ready to work in less than 6 or 7 years fooling around in the woke colleges. I'll never watch or support any of these teams of spoiled children paid to play games. Okay, a couple ways of looking at that. Sam, appreciate the email. 734.
At Pressure Point Roofing, our dedicated team of repair and maintenance professionals work on hundreds of roofs a year. We can see where problems can start on your home or commercial property. We have the years of experience and commitment to quality that you need to protect your home or business. Having an annual inspection can prevent you from suffering through the damage, stress, and costs of an interior repair. Just like your car's oil change, preventative work can save you money and headaches. To schedule a repair and inspection, or to learn more how a maintenance program can help you, visit PressurePointRoofing.com.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. Provided by Dish. News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Israel insisting it will do whatever it takes to protect its citizens, this after the UN's top court ordered the Jewish state to halt its military operations in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. It is a non-binding order which Israel is expected to ignore. House Speaker Mike Johnson saying it's time for Senate Majority Leader Schumer to join his invitation to Israel's prime minister to address a joint session of Congress. If you think the heart of deep blue New York City isn't MAGA country, you might want to reconsider. President Trump held a rally in the South Bronx yesterday. Some 25,000 people showed up. Cries of "We love Trump" and "USA" filling the air at that massive rally. Shots rang out last evening at high school graduation ceremony in Oakland, California, and two people were wounded. Wall Street, the Dow up 49 points. More details, srnnews.com.
Biden has started tracking Christians like cattle. Yes, you heard it right. He pressured banks to tag transactions for certain keywords. One of them is Holy Bible. That's a horrifying and creepy attack on our religious freedoms. It's made possible by a digital financial system that makes you a sitting duck. But you do have other options. I recommend a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. I'm Lance Wallnau, a news analyst, a best-selling author, and evangelical leader to people who cherish their financial independence. A precious metals IRA can help you avoid the scrutiny of Biden's anti-Christian bureaucracy while also preserving your retirement savings. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see how a gold IRA can help you. Text FAITH to 989898. There are no strings attached. So text FAITH to the number 989898 right now and take action to protect your own prosperity.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, Jason with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros with more spring savings. Right now, purchase a set of four qualifying Yokohama tires through June 15th and get up to a $100 rebate. Get an additional $50 when you purchase with your Tire Pros credit card. There's 14 different tires to choose from, including Geolander AT for your truck or SUV and the Avid Ascend LX for your passenger car. So stop by or call for details to save right now on quality Yokohama tires exclusively at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MillettConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
If you don't plan on cooking tonight, plan on dining at Freddy's Diner. Friday and Saturday nights, Freddy's features their hickory smoked prime rib. Plus, there's everyday favorites like New York steak, smoked beef brisket, Carolina chicken, pressure fried chicken, hand-dipped beer battered salmon or cod, and more. The menu is designed to please everyone in the family. Easy takeout, too. And stick around on Friday nights for karaoke at 9 p.m. Freddy's is a great place to meet friends or make some. Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
7:39, Matt from Grants Pass is here. It's just Matt and Bill talking the markets this morning. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. And just so people understand, we've talked to you off and on about the markets now and then, and you've been following them some 30 years. You used to be a stockbroker, and it's tough to be a stockbroker and talk on the radio freely these days. And you were telling me the other day, and I thought that was quite interesting. He says, you know, I remember, you know, you're taking those tests, and they're hard tests, but 90% of the test is, here's everything that you can't do or say in order to get your company sued, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I went to work. I was an independent broker for the first 2 years, and then I went to work for one of the big wire houses, Dean Witter, which got bought out by Morgan Stanley long after I was gone. But if you wanted to do any sort of advertising for your, because you're basically self-employed, it's mostly just straight commission.
Yeah.
Then you have to get all kinds of approvals to do or to say or to print. And the test, it is true. When you take the test, it's not teaching you how to be a stock picker or an investment, you know, knowledgeable investor. It basically is on the rules and regulations.
Hey, Matt, could you reposition your cell phone? I just want to make sure you're more direct on that, okay?
Yeah, I don't know if that helps. For some reason, I'm going to call it U.S. Cellular. Their signal out where I am is terrible now.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on. Is that better?
Yeah, that is better. Just it had to do with how you were on the microphone, the phone microphone.
Oh,
just
okay.
More direct. That's
okay.
All. Yeah. So,
yeah, so they basically figure, look, you're going to learn the rules of the road, and then you're going to get here. And we're going to tell you what you're going to sell. And I'm not saying that's for everything, but for the big wire houses, that certainly is how it works.
Yeah. Just the reality. So here it is. We're looking at an interesting time. You know, we've had Dow Jones 40,000. I think we're below 40,000 right now. I haven't checked, you know, recently. But we've been hitting
just barely.
Just like all-time highs. Every day we've been just hearing about all-time highs. Yesterday there was a big pullback or something like that. And I don't know, was that profit taking, you think, or something else going on?
Yes, I think that was a big part of it. You have technical analysis and fundamental analysis. And for me, the two work hand in hand. And one is looking at how the price of something is moving, and the other is looking at what may be causing the price to move. And there are specific things when you're talking about the Dow, which is a good example. I'm glad you brought that up. All 30 stocks in the Dow were down yesterday, all of them.
Wow.
That doesn't happen all that often. I mean, it does happen, but it's not, you're not going to see it day in and day out. It just, you know, maybe if you're in a downswing, you know, you're getting into bear market territory, then you'll see that. But I thought it was interesting, just sort of out of nowhere, that all 30 of them closed lower. And so that's interesting. But you had what's called a double top. So I'm looking at a Dow chart right now. It got up to about 40,000. And that was, end of March. And then it got up and just barely poked its head above 40,000 here several days ago, last week. So what happens is you have, like, it was just people pushing the buttons years ago when I got started. Now it's machines. And they just sort of weigh, you know, I'll call it pressure in the market. And that is, we'll get up above 40,000. We test it. And if there's a time period where it doesn't break above that level and begin to hold, then the machines start to sell.
Oh, and in other words, this is the artificial intelligence. It's regular guys competing against the artificial intelligence, right? Essentially, out there.
Yeah,
right?
There's a reason. There's a reason why trading firms want to be in New York, where Wall Street is and where the NASDAQ is, because. Believe it or not, even though we're talking milliseconds, you're better off being closer to what's happening than being farther away from what's happening, especially if I just call them machine trades. And it's basically you have algorithms where you have trading programs that will look for particular comments from the Federal Reserve, right? When they come out and they release their minutes after they make an interest rate decision.
Yeah, and then something in that looks hawkish and all of a sudden, sell, right? That kind of thing?
That's right. Hmm. Well, and here's something interesting. I find it, look, all of this stuff I find interesting, and everybody might not. But there used to be a thing called an uptick rule. And this came out when the SEC was formed back in the early 30s. And what it was is you couldn't short a stock unless the previous trade was a tick up.
Now, shorting a stock is borrowing it to bet that it's going to go down, right? And then you make money on that, right?
Yeah. The process is just the opposite of what it is when you buy a stock. It's still buy low, sell high, but you're selling high first, and then you want to buy back lower. So since you don't own the shares, you're technically borrowing it from the firm where you have your brokerage account. So they loan you the shares. By the way, they could loan me your shares, Bill's shares, to short IBM in my account. And then I can be short, but I have to get out of that position. I have to buy it back. And that's why you have these short cover rallies. And that, in fact, that's what you saw in GameStop. It's what you saw in AMC. All of those stocks, you had a lot of big investors shorting these things like crazy. And then you had these people organizing on social media and saying, okay, we're gonna have a run here. And they begin to buy. Well, as soon as the price moves to a certain point, you get the short sellers start to panic and they have to buy it back. And it's like, well, I don't want to buy it back at 20, but if I don't buy it back at 20, I may be buying this back at 40.
And then you go bankrupt, right? Yeah, then you're going to be really, you know, taking it in the shorts, you know?
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, all right. There was something else. And, you know, you had talked about how, you know, when someone shorts a stock, they could borrow somebody else's stock, technically, right? And
right, that is what happens.
Isn't that technically what David Webb was writing about in The Great Taking, the danger of the way the situation is in the financial world right now? Did you ever read The Great Taking by David Webb, by the way?
I didn't. Here's what I will say. There's a thing called a naked short. And look, I don't know how the Securities and Exchange Commission is a very tough regulatory body. So I'm not sure why they get away with this because they track every trade. They know where everything is. They see trends and they see anomalies and they track those things down to wherever the anomalies are occurring. So I don't know how, let's say there's 100 shares available to trade, to buy or to sell. I don't know how you can have all of a sudden 200 shares short in a stock that only has 100 shares to trade. And it should be illegal, and I think it is illegal. I mean, I'm not a regulatory expert. So this is what happens with GameStop and AMC and a bunch of these other stocks. How do you end up with more shares shorted than the number of shares available to trade?
Yeah.
It's, you know, and so this is what happens. And they should know. But I've said this for years. I love investing. It's a passion of mine. It has been for over 30 years. But Wall Street is the worst advocate for Wall Street. So many crooked things have been done that people don't trust. And they figure, oh, you know, the game's rigged. I can't be involved. Look, you can be a short-term trader. I personally have never met anyone who's been successful trading short-term over the long run. But it's almost like the only way to avoid all that is to go back old school and to actually be a longer-term investor, to really try to find, you know, stocks with long-term opportunity. And they don't all work out. I mean, Peter Lynch said, hey, you only need to be right 4 out of 10 times and you can make a lot of money. And I've always hung my hat on that. So that's part of the problem day-to-day. Bill, if you were to look at a price chart, for example, you'll see that day-to-day, week-to-week, a price of a stock moves up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But you could draw a line, call it your moving average. You could draw a line that follows either the lows, the closes, the highs. You can use what I prefer, an exponential moving average, which gives more weight to the more recent price movement. And it'll give you It'll smooth out things. The ups and downs day to day, the highs and lows, those are the traders. That activity is it's the liquidity in the market. It's people maybe getting long, people getting short, or people taking profits, or people taking losses.
And you probably don't want to pay attention to that noise on a day to day as a long term investor, right? You don't want to get caught up in that.
From my perspective, you don't. But I know people do. And look, if you look at if you were to follow Apple or Google or Nvidia, you could look at all the analysts. All you have to do is look at the stock. You'll find news stories about, you know, how many analysts are, what their average rating is. Okay, this stock is an average rating of a buy or a sell or a hold or a strong sell or a strong buy. And it gives you a sense of what the analysts think about a stock. But you can see them changing their ratings. I won't say week to week. You don't typically see that from an analyst, especially if they're from a big firm. But you can see where you've got one guy who follow one stock, or one analyst will follow three stocks, and that is their whole job. That's it.
Really?
Their job is to follow Apple and say, yep, right now we think it's a buy. Now we think it's a hold, or we think it's an overweight or an underweight.
And that's their job?
That's their job. Their whole job is to follow it. And look, they make phone calls. They talk to people. They talk to vendors who sell stuff to the companies. And they're always trying to get some kind of an inside track. The only thing they're really not supposed to do is have an inside, sort of a link to someone who actually knows what's going on. And look, I'm all for reporting earnings and sales on a quarterly basis. But this is where you end up with your surprises. You have two things. You have one is just an improvement or a worsening of sales and earnings and other things, of course, but those are what people focus on, so I'll stay on that. So you can look at a stock and come out and release their earnings report in the quarter, and they can say, hey, our sales are up, let's say just 10%. Our earnings are up 7 or 8%, and the stock will sell off. Because you'll also see news stories that say, it didn't meet analyst expectations. It was weaker than expected. Average.
Yeah, I've wondered about that, because I would see these great performances that I would think that, hey, anybody that would see 7 or 8% more money and 7 or 8% more profit, you would think that that would be a buy, or that that would actually be good news for the stock. But instead, if the analyst thought it was going to be 8, then all of a sudden it's trash? Is that kind of what's going on?
You know what? It's amazing. So I could almost make the argument that investors would be better off if analysts didn't exist. Now, you could just say, hey, the stock is what it is. And people would look at it and say, oh, well, things are improving. There tends to be a trend here. But here's something else to notice. And if someone was following a stock, it doesn't matter what the stock is. But if someone's following a stock and you're, you know, I would say within a month or a month and a half of their earnings released, and you notice that the stock begins to move up. It doesn't move straight up. It just kind of creeps higher and higher and higher. You know, it's just like with sports. You know, good teams react. Great teams anticipate. Wall Street traders, hedge funds, mutual fund managers, they're in the business of anticipation. So what they do is they look at a stock. They look at the previous earnings reports. They've done their research. They have, you know, information that wouldn't be available to you and me. It's not illegal. It's just they've done
the work. Right. Oh, I just lost him. I'll be right back with Matt just a second. Let me get him back on just a moment. But that was a good time. We'll get him back. We'll get him back.
Forte Vin 785766 MSRP 21645 3500 due. Sol Vin 237299 MSRP 22140 3500 due. 10K miles per year. Zero security deposit. All incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax title license. 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance in 6224.
Thinking about a new ride? It's time to trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford. Hurry in to get more cash for your trade in, no matter the make, model, or mileage. Then trade up and save on our huge Kia selection, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $149 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like Fortes or Souls. Your choice. Just $149 a month. Trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
1954, 70 years ago, first children to receive the Salk's polio vaccine. The number three song of the day, the crew cut Shaboom. Meantime, store number three for Grover was next to open. Grover Electric and Plumbing in Grants Pass, Oregon, welcoming do-it-yourselfers and contractors with a promise of superior service, quality products, and everyday low prices. Grover celebrates 70 years of do-it-yourself and save. For a location near you, visit GroverElectric.com.
You know, we're so fortunate in this country to have a military that is 100% volunteer. Now, that's why Pure Talk proudly supports America's Warrior Partnership and their mission to prevent veteran suicide. If you make the switch on your cell phone, well, guess what? You're going to get Pure Talk's 5G network, unlimited talk and text, $20 a month. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now for superior cell phone service. Half the price of the big carriers, and you also help a vet in need.
30 and 40 degree swings? Welcome to spring in Southern Oregon. This is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. As soon as the weather hits the 80 degree and above mark, our phones start ringing off the hook and people can hardly wait a day to get in. Wouldn't it be better to take care of any air conditioning issues you have before the real heat hits? Schedule your appointment now and stay cool later. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you. Kelly'sAutomotive.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
Just having some fun talking about market moves and things, and with Matt in Grants Pass. Matt's a former stockbroker, but it's been a big, long market follower for many, many years, and of course, it's still your business, just in a different way. Mark, you were talking, Matt, about before the call dropped, about how Wall Street is in the business of anticipating, right? And that's what they do. And where are we going to go from that? Okay.
Well, so let's say you were following, and I'll just pick, you know, Microsoft. Let's say you were following Microsoft, and their earnings report was coming up in a month and a half, and you notice that the stock is moving a month and a half ahead of time. And then they come out with earnings, and even the earnings might be better than analysts expected, but the stock drops over the next day or two, you know, 4%, 5%. Mm-hmm. And people will say, well, how does that happen? You know, the stock was doing great, and they came out with better
with
than
good
expected
news.
Earnings.
Yeah, good news.
That's right. Well, it was priced in. It was priced in a month and a half, over the course of a month and a half leading into earnings.
Oh.
And so, well, and look, this is supply and demand stuff. I mean, you talk about gold, I talk about gold. The fact is, stocks won't go any higher unless there are new buyers or increased buying of any kind. So what happens is, if a lot of buying pressure has been used up moving, you know, Microsoft 5 or 6 or 8%.
Because people were anticipating a good quarter for them, right? They're anticipating doing it in advance. And I've wondered why I would see good news and all of a sudden a stock tanks. I'm going like, wait a minute, it never made sense to me as a regular Joe, you know, out there.
Right.
Okay.
And that's the emotion of the market. That's, look, your professional investors, like Peter Lynch, who I brought up, those guys understand, you know, just like Warren Buffett. I'm not a fan of his politics, but, you know, the fact is that if you're trading short term, the reason it's so hard to be successful over the long run is that it's a very emotional kind of, it's not investing, it's really more trading, but it's more emotional. Because if all you're looking for is a 10% profit on a stock, you know, going long, I'm not talking about shorting, but going long, and then it pulls back 5%, you either say, well, I'm not going to take a loss in this, and you hold it till it's down 20, then you sell it. Well, what happens is your profits are much smaller than your losses. And over time, it's just you can't get out of that hole. You just keep digging it deeper and deeper. Someone who's very disciplined could do it. And I'm sure there are people, I don't doubt for a second that there are people out there who trade short term that are successful. I've just never met one. And so to avoid or, you know, to sort of get around the news, you just sort of have to grab the leather.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, because of all of the algorithms and the machine trading, as you're talking about, just a regular, we little folks doing the day trading or just short-term trading, that's pretty tough for us for the most part, isn't it? Is that kind of what you're getting at there, you know, fighting the machine?
Well, let's look at it this way. Are you going to have as good a computer as the big firms have?
Probably not.
Okay. Are you closer to the action? Are you closer to the servers that process the trade than they are?
Definitely not. No.
Do you have AI and other kinds of things? Do you have programmers whose entire jobs are writing code and stuff to execute these you know, algorithm trades and all this?
Definitely not. No.
No. You're going to get smoked. You are their liquidity. That's all you are. You're their liquidity. When they want to get in, you're the seller. When they want to get out, you're the buyer. That's you are the liquidity. And they need you. They count on you. And you know what's always blown my mind? So after the financial crisis, when stocks have been racked up for, you know, almost a year, you know, it was rough. And then all of a sudden, everybody gets quiet. People I talk to who are investors, no longer, I'm out of the market for good, blah, 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 blah. And I look at that and I think to myself, I don't even talk to people. I mean, you know, I agreed to come on and talk to you. And I said, do people really want to hear any of this? Because, you know, unless you're into investing, it isn't very exciting. It is not sexy at all. None of this is sexy to the average person. But then what happens is when you have a huge run, everybody's in.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, like me individually, I look for turnaround. So that's my focus. But if the stock market's getting killed, that's when you need to be looking.
Well, that's what I was wondering. It's like we regular people, our challenge is that the stock market's getting killed. Oh, I want to stay away from that, right? And then, you know, here it is at 40,000, and we little folks, we pile in because of the emotion, right? We're thinking, wow, you know, something's really going on in here. And yet the people like Warren Buffett, you know, they're out there with their checkbook when things are getting killed, aren't they?
I'll give you a great example. Berkshire Hathaway bought Ambac. Ambac is an insurance company. They sell insurance for municipal bonds. Okay? During the financial crisis, municipal bonds were getting slaughtered. A lot of municipal bonds, those things, you know what they're floated for, Bill. I mean, most people may not, but municipal bonds are floated for building infrastructure.
Well, it's kind of like, look at the aquatic warehouse in Medford as an example. Municipal bond, right?
Right.
That kind of thing.
Well, so to keep interest rates low, if you're the municipality issuing the bond, you want to pay as little interest on those bonds as possible. Well, one of the things you could do is if your bond was only going to be rated like BBB or maybe a low A rating, then you could buy insurance for that bond, and it's not cheap, but you could buy insurance, and automatically it becomes AA or AAA rated. AAA, the insurance company's AAA rated, those bonds become AAA rated.
Got it.
And like when I sold tax-free municipal bonds way back in the early 90s, I didn't really care to sell bonds that were AAA rated just because of the insurance. And look, it's not that I knew anything that the people who had been doing it longer than I had knew, but the thought in my mind was, what if everybody needed – like, what if those insurance companies couldn't cover every bond that went bad? And people would say to me, oh, come on, Matt, I've been in this business 25 years. No issue is, you know, all the issues won't go bad at once, even if there were some that go bad. And then the financial crisis hits.
And then everybody went bad. Yeah,
and Ambac found themselves in trouble. And Warren Buffett stepped in and bought it for a song and a dance. I don't know if anyone else was even looking at that company, but he stepped in and bought. That's the difference.
That's the difference between a trader and an investor, right?
Yes, that is true. And so I just wish people understood better, you know, how the process works. I used to travel, you know, years ago, and I would do financial seminars and stuff. And people would come up with these great questions. And I was answering, and they're saying, God, you know, I just never knew that. I always wanted to know that, and I never knew how that worked. But it's – you know, it's beautiful. Some people want a metal detector and walk the beach in their flip-flops and look for gold watches and loose change and that kind of thing. And this is really the same kind of thing. It just takes more knowledge and more effort. And I'll say this because I don't know how much time we had, but being an investor, you're basically going to get paid if you're right. You get paid for noticing things.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm boiling it down to something, because I thought about this last night after you and I talked, it's you're being paid for noticing things, and certain things jump out. Like I've been following uranium for years because I always felt like nuclear energy was the way forward. This is before wind and solar caught on and all that.
And the thing is, though, is that the wind and solar is going to teeter into irrelevancy, I figure, over the next 10 to 15 years as the subsidies run out. Something's going to have to power the place, though, right?
Well, I think what's going to happen is I think nuclear energy, you know, they're talking about being able to take, you know, spent fuel rods and other kinds of things and being able to recycle those and use them for energy. In fact, there's an interesting video. I can send you the video today, but it was John Kennedy, the senator.
Oh, yeah. And Senator Kennedy. He's great. I love him.
He's talking to Granholm, who's the energy secretary. And he said, "It's basically, is there a way forward without nuclear?" This was the first question he asked. And she said, absolutely not.
And you see, that's an example of a clue, right, that investors then would notice. And because, you know, that's policy. That's going to be policy.
Yeah. So I had been following uranium stocks. I brought this up, I think, a while ago on your show. I've been following them for a while, and then I began to notice there were certain trends, like Bill Gates getting together with some of his other billionaire buddies and buying some land in Wyoming and beginning to work on some kind of nuclear, you know, program reactor, whatever. So you're getting paid for noticing. Look, a year and a half ago, I noticed that every single company involved in shipping, whether it was oil, dry bulk, whatever, they were all making the exact same pattern. And shipping companies tend to be these longer-term trends. And I just noticed, and all of a sudden, as I'm plowing through all these stocks, I start to notice one after the other, boom, 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 boom. And some of them wouldn't work out, but some of them do. And so, like I said, you're just getting paid to notice things, to read a paper and see a story. And I send you emails from time to time about, sometimes I'm just kidding around with you, but well, there's certain things I notice in an article. I'm like, wow, this is the third article this week on this particular thing.
And that makes a lot of sense. And that's what you have to notice as a good investor, especially if you're going to be a small investor on your own here. Matt, hang on here just a second. We got Steve, you are a former stockbroker too, right? Or a retired stockbroker. You want to weigh in on anything that Matt was talking
about?
I've
been out of the business for 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the first thing I wanted to say was people get the impression that they can own money. And that sounds kind of simple, but you can't own money. You own purchasing power, and the purchasing power fluctuates with inflation and or what the economy is doing. So I used to have clients who would be really happy when the market was up, and they said, oh, my account's worth X amount, and then it would go down, and they'd say, that was my money, you lost my money. Well, the market changes. And part of the thing that's been happening with the market going up is inflation has been going up. So the value of the companies, if they're good companies, go up with inflation, maybe even better if they do a better job. Other thing I want to say is if you're shorting stock, you have to do it in a margin account. So that's one of the limiting factors and or one of my – I don't know how to put this – one of my – failures or things that I didn't understand was there are people in the marketplace who get away with things and the high frequency traders have a lot of money and they buy politicians.
Yeah, I appreciate the call there, Steve. And I think what he was referencing, Matt, was the naked shorting that you were talking about or referencing a little earlier, right? Pretty much.
It might be part of that.
Yeah.
The naked shorting. It's insidious.
Yeah. Now I'm out of time now at this point. But like I said, maybe some people didn't care for this kind of conversation, but you know, it's big and it matters. And a lot of people are pinning their futures on a lot of what's going on with those markets. So I think it's just a good idea to understand a little bit about how a bit of that works. I wanted to ask you a quick question here before you take off. You were mentioning earlier how there were shares of GameStop, let's say, that were supposedly available for trading than actually existed. So that's like naked shorting thing. So it's impossible. Is that the same sort of thing which happened to gold for quite some time, that the conspiracy theorists would say that the price of gold was kept artificially low because there was paper gold, more paper gold? In other words, gold, a piece of paper or a security that represented gold, there was more of that than actually existed gold backing it up. Would that be fair? Is that kind of the same sort of thing you're talking about?
I don't know. That's the short answer. Here's what I will say. the difference between actual physical gold and just stocks in general, we know how many shares are available to trade on a stock. You can look it up.
And right.
They'll tell you, you know, 500 billions or well, not billions, but 500 million shares are available for trade. Those are actual common shares that trade in the market. With gold, who knows? Who knows? It
yeah.
comes out of the ground. It's this crazy metal. They use it for manufacturing and stuff. Who knows who has what? People say, oh, well, China has this much. India has this much.
That's what they
Russia
claim,
has this
right?
Much.
Yeah.
How do they know? I always laugh at that. I go, how do you know? How do you know?
I'm just asking. Just asking.
I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying it when I turn on a financial channel or I'm listening in the background and I hear him saying that, oh, they, you know, China's bought this many ounces of gold. What if China's buying gold from India or from Russia or from some other place? How do we know? How do we know how much gold China's buying? Who is on the inside in the Chinese communist government keeping track of how many ounces of gold or tons that the Chinese are buying?
I have great difficulty believing many statistics of economic news out of China. That would be the first thing I would say. Boy, I mean, you think that we're sitting around massaging the news about the United States. I think China has perfected it. Hey, Matt, I really appreciate the call. Thanks for it. And we'll probably have to do this again sometime. You know, it's Friday.
Okay.
It's going into the holiday weekend here. I didn't want to just do the standard. I didn't want to talk anymore about the election. I couldn't handle it anymore. I think I was going to put a bullet in my head.
Can I give you a little what's up for your listeners?
Sure.
I just want to say how much I appreciate them. I love your show, obviously, but some of the callers that you have, I mean, these are fantastic people. I listen to them talk and I listen to the comments they make, and I just think they're great. I really, really enjoy the back and forth and everything that you have with them, and I like the calls and the points that they bring up. And I learned something from them when you're having conversations with them. So thank you to your listeners for the education that they give me, bringing stuff up. And sometimes I'll go, oh, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll have you back. Matt, you take all care. Right. Matt from Grants Pass. Just Matt and Bill, and in this case, Wild Sam and Steve, just talking the markets and where it's moving, how it's moving, et cetera, et cetera. It's 10 after 8, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KCMD, Grants Pass, K294AS, Ashland.